of hatred. For if no children pass through the caves of selfishness and envy, none can get to my cavern.
Or to mine, added the demon of malice. For my part, said the demon of repentance, it is easily seen that if children do not visit your caves, they have no need to visit mine, so I am quite as neglected as you are.
And all because of this person they call Santa Claus, exclaimed the demon of envy. He is simply ruining our business, and something must be done at once.
To this they readily agreed. But what to do was another and more difficult matter to settle. They knew that Santa Claus worked all through the year at his castle in the Laughing Valley, preparing the gifts he was to distribute on Christmas Eve. And at first, they resolved to try to tempt him into their caves, that they might lead him on to the terrible pitfalls that ended in destruction. So the very next day, while Santa Claus was busily at work, surrounded by his little band of assistants, the demon of selfishness came to him and said,
"These toys are wonderfully bright and pretty. Why do you not keep them for yourself? It's a pity to give them to those noisy boys and fretful girls who break and destroy them so quickly."
"Nonsense!" cried the old greybeard, his bright eyes twinkling merrily as he turned toward the tempting demon. "The boys and girls are never so noisy and fretful after receiving my presents, and if I can make them happy for one day in the year, I am quite content."
So the demon went back to the others, who awaited him in their caves, and said,
"I have failed, for Santa Claus is not at all selfish."
The following day, the demon of envy visited Santa Claus. Said he,
"The toy shops are full of playthings quite as pretty as these you are making. What a shame it is that they should interfere with your business. They make toys by machinery, much quicker than you can make them by hand, and they sell them for money, while you get nothing at all for your work."
But Santa Claus refused to be envious of the toy shops.
"I can supply the little ones but once a year, on Christmas Eve," he answered. "For the children are many, and I am but one, and as my work is one of love and kindness, I would be ashamed to receive money for my little gifts. But throughout all the year the children must be amused in some way, and so the toy shops are able to bring much happiness to my little friends. I like the toy shops, and am glad to see them prosper."
In spite of this second rebuff, the demon of hatred thought he would try to influence Santa Claus. So the next day, he entered the busy workshop and said,
"Good morning, Santa. I have bad news for you."
"Then run away like a good fellow," answered Santa Claus. "Bad news is something that should be kept secret and never told."
"You cannot escape this, however," declared the demon, "for in the world are a good many who do not believe in Santa Claus, and these you are bound to hate bitterly, since they have so wronged you."
"Stuff and rubbish," cried Santa.
"And there are others who resent your making children happy, and who sneer at you, and call you a foolish old rattle-pate. You are quite right to hate such base slanderers, and you ought to be revenged upon them for their evil words."
"But I don't hate them," exclaimed Santa Claus positively.
"Such people do me no real harm, but merely render themselves and their children unhappy. Poor things, I'd much rather help them any day than injure them."
Indeed, the demons could not tempt old Santa Claus in any way. On the contrary, he was shrewd enough to see that their object in visiting him was to make mischief and trouble. So the demons abandoned honeyed words and determined to use force. It is well known that no harm can come to Santa Claus while he is in the Laughing Valley, for the fairies and rills and nooks all protect him. But on Christmas Eve, he drives his reindeer out into the big world, carrying a sleigh load of toys and pretty gifts to children. And this was